from stpcatalyst.com.
Yes, he pushed the right button. It's always great when that happens, isn't it? I'm Bill DeYoung. This is the Catalyst Sessions. Thanks for joining us. Say hello to Chris Romeo, who is a St. Petersburg native, I understand, like yours truly, and like so many of the wonderful people we have on our show. Chris is a tenor. You've seen him many, many, many shows with St. Petersburg Opera Company. I had the pleasure of working with St. Pete Opera for about 2 years and got to hear Chris a lot. And we're here today to talk about, well, we're here to talk about a lot of things, specifically the Popera series that SPO is doing. And it's Sunday. We'll get to it. We're going to plug it. We're going to plug the hell out of it. You're going to be tired of talking about it. It's this Sunday in St. Pete, the old 14-inch flatbed trailer. I can't wait to hear about that. Chris, you have a master's in music from USF, right?
And
got a degree in music therapy.
Yes, sir, from St. Mary's of the Woods in Indiana.
In Indiana, okay. But didn't I read somewhere that you went to pre-med? You were going to be a doctor once?
When I first came to college, I was always in music since the sixth grade. I started playing trumpet, and I loved music, but something in me didn't feel like I could make it in music on trumpet. I was always a section leader, the band captain. Yeah. I was so involved, but something, I didn't have the crazy high, like Louis Armstrong notes. Even though I had the stamina, I could play all the runs and I could play good music on trumpet. I felt like in order to be like a true trumpet player, you had to have those crazy high notes. Not true though, but just something in me got that. And so I was like, well, I have to do something in life, you know, that maybe trumpet's not my thing. And so I went into pre-med because my parents always, you know, urged me that direction, which is great.
It's the old thing, you know, the guitar is all right, John Lennon, but you'll never earn a living by it. So get a real job. It's that old saying, right? So you played trumpet all the way through school until?
Into college. Wow. My first 2 years. I did not start singing until my third year of college, which was probably like 2007 or 2008.
I'm gonna stand here and tell you that I'm one of your biggest fans. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you so much.
How did it take so long for somebody to discover that you were a singer?
Well, I mean, I do think it wasn't a bad thing that I started on an instrument. I feel like there's a lot of singers who have a tough time maybe learning notation and reading music. So I learned all of the, I feel like the nitty-gritty music stuff. And then I got to work on my voice with already having that big foundation of music. So I think it kind of worked for me. And then, you know, I found the right teacher in college who really got my voice going and growing. And then I met St. Pete Opera from that. And it's been
third year
though. Ever since.
What happened to pre-med? That's what I want to know.
I'm trying to make my way back around to that in my music therapy degree. Mm. You know, with music therapy, I get to work with Parkinson's clients, Alzheimer's, special needs. My ultimate goal is to work with end of life process and help people, you know, pass on, use music to make the process easy on them and the family. So, you know, that's one of my hopes and dreams.
I remember probably the only conversation we ever had that was longer than 2 minutes because everybody's running around talking with you about music therapy. And you said something very clear, very, very close to what you just said, which is that, it's very near and dear to your heart. And I never, until I found out that you'd been a pre-med student, I never would have, now it makes sense to me. Tell me what you do with Creative Leaps, which is in Hillsborough County, yeah? Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, it's over in Brandon, but yeah, we pretty much encompass the whole greater Tampa Bay area.
Oh, all yeah, okay.
Sarasota, you know, up to New Tampa, over to St. Pete, Clearwater. We have clients.
You work with hospitals and
one of the many, you know, programs we've created. We work with Parkinson Place down in Sarasota, and we would create hour long sessions to utilize all different kinds of instruments under the sun to help them work different goals, whether it be walking, talking, expressing themselves, swallowing, basic things that we take things for granted almost. You know, some people have disabilities and have things that happen to them that inhibit those basic actions. But we've learned that if we utilize certain instruments, we can kind of retrain the body in a different way because music affects us so differently than just verbal speaking. So you can go to a psychologist, you can go to a doctor, and they can say, well, yeah, if you do this exercise, you know, 100 times, it's going to work that muscle, blah, blah. But, you know, that might work for some people. But if you just put that to a simple parameter, where, you know, if my piano, boom, ching, boom, ching, it really gives that focus, that drive. Mm-hmm. And it, a lot of times you see people go through their exercises and that simple little thing. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of music therapy.
That's brilliant. It went way over my head, and I love that. It just means that it must be really, really key and really important. What do you get out of that experience personally?
I mean, human connection is amazing. Just being able to talk to people and knowing that you're doing whatever you can to help them, and you know, when they realize that, and I don't know, it's just that connection you get with sort of some people. I mean, mostly what I get is I get to use music. I love music. Music is such a huge part of my life. And performing is not the easiest, you know, field of work to be in. So it's an outlet of doing more work with music. And it's exciting. I get to write music all the time. You know, I write things from hello songs to full songs with people. So sometimes we might write a full song to really talk about situations going on in their life. And through the song, we will break into, you know, certain concepts and be able to talk deeper about it. Whereas simple just writing a hello song that when I say certain words, the child or whoever claps on a certain beat, so you just get them to do little action. So there's so many different ways to utilize music. So it's awesome to really get to think about.
Was that always in the back of your mind when you went to get the degree?
No, it actually happened because of St. Pete Opera. It actually happened because when we did Deflator Mouse 2012, I think, we had a choreographer who happened to be a dance therapist. And she was an older lady, and a lot of people didn't take liking to her style. But me, I'm just kind of easygoing. I kind of befriended her and talked to her. And I found this all out through her that she does dance therapy. She goes to a hospital, and she just does simple movements with her patients to music to let them to relax the muscles or use them in a certain way. And I was like, wow, that's a thing. And then I started doing more research, and then I realized there's this whole world of music therapy. And then I looked, because it's hard to go away again to school, so I found St. Mary's of the Woods online, and I got to stay put. I mean, you had to go up there every once in a while, but it was a great experience to learn. And I can play a little bit of guitar now. I have to play piano. That's my fun. As you can see behind me, I have a ukulele. I got an accordion.
Oh,
This is an auto harp here, and this is that's actually a didgeridoo. It's a spiral didgeridoo. And I use all of them for my that one I use for people working on respiratory issues.
I just thought didgeridoo was the long,
it is the
Australian thing. It's a spiral. So you learn something new every day, Chris.
Yep.
Wow.
What the fuck
was that?
The same thing, yeah.
Looks like a big snail shell. So here's my question, though. Let me back up a minute. When you're performance in school, was opera your first choice? I mean, I've heard you do musical theater and other things, but it's a special kind of training, isn't it, for opera?
Well, the thing is, they didn't really offer anything else but opera, or classical voice, we should say.
Right,
they kind of structured as classical voice. And operas, you know, of course, the first years and second years, they might focus on art songs. And in language, I might do French art songs, Italian art songs, and so on and so forth. But then once they grow their voice, then usually it's like, well, opera is the next step. And that's kind of where they always go with it. There are some schools now that are trying to implement musical theater programs into it to give diversity to the students. Because there are a lot of students who go and like, I want to learn to sing, but I don't want to sing opera.
And I
saw a lot of those kids struggle when I was in school.
Did you have any, you know, particular fondness for opera? Like, yeah, I really would like to do that. Or was it something you had to grow into?
I think I was just lucky in that it just kind of happened. And I was kind of like, okay, let's just do it. This is what singers do. Let's do it.
Easy going guy. There's so much. I mean, in the brief amount of time I spent hovering around with everybody at SPO, I learned so much, and you know,
awesome. And
not only to as a listener, a participant is sitting in the chair, but you know, the whole stigma about opera just blew out the window, especially when I started talking to singers such as yourself. I don't want to make this about me. I tend to do that. So let's, anybody who watches this knows that I do this. But what happened was I started to find out that you're singers first and foremost, you know, and it's a form of expression. And everybody that I met, I know they're in there, but I never met anybody with a massive ego or anything. I know they're around. I've heard stories.
I've seen them come through here and there, but I do agree with you. I agree that it's very far and few in between. You have this stigma about opera that you think that you go into the opera house and it's very, very stuffy and everyone's so full of themselves, the prima donna and all that kind of stuff. But no, majority of the productions I have worked on with St. Pete Opera and Tampa Opera.
Yeah.
Only one time have I physically remember actually having like a confrontation with someone where they were just so full of themselves that they couldn't even have me around.
Yeah, you see that? that's the preconception maybe that I had. Other than it's hard to get into because I'm just some American kid, and you got that whole Wagner thing with the horns and everything. It's like, oh, opera, yeah, and they're all real stuffy people.
Looney Tunes did a good job of trying to make it accessible, showing little clips of it. But I think I appreciate Maestro Sforzini for how accessible I feel like he made it for
people. He was a big factor for me, too.
It was what, 10 years ago now when I started with St. Pete Opera. And I did feel that feeling of grandiose, you know, of grand... you know, the costumes and things like that. But then the more I got to learn SPO and see how they really cater to the community and really try to include all demographics of people.
Sure.
And I think they do an awesome job of really just trying to reach.
I think if Maestro Sforzini hadn't been as accessible as he was, I first met him just as a journalist doing a story about him. I mean, I think that my opinion would maybe had not changed yet. He sort of opened the door and said, look, we're just regular people. We just really like doing this and we're good at it. And that made a big difference. I want to look at a photo here real quick.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about accessibility and I happen to have taken this photo. And this is when Pinocchio 2019, I mean, was so wonderful. It's folks, if you haven't seen it, it's essentially for children. I have some video which I couldn't figure out how to show here, but that's Chris on the left and Maestro, and I can't remember the other actor's name, the other singer's name. See, okay, well there he is. Anyway, yeah. And they're wolf and cat, and they scare Pinocchio, and it's really fun.
Yeah, we're the bad guys, not the main bad guy.
No, there was a worse guy, and that's we'll have.
But even though it is geared towards kids, I love how it is, it's like real opera pieces all strung together to create a story for the children.
With Pinocchio words, they use fully professional singers and a little band and, little orchestra, we should say.
Yeah,
nine piece, yeah. And it was so good. I mean, the picture's a little weird. If I could show you the video, you'd see what I'm talking about. If I knew how to do that. I have another one on deck here that's ready. I actually shot this one too. This is you with Teresa and Kaya and yes. Maestro at the Museum of Fine Arts.
Mm-hmm.
During the...
We were doing piece of...
Picasso de Hockney. Thing
that, yes, yeah. That's what it was, yes. And yeah. Then I'm singing Che Puro Ciel. That's actually where he had me sing in my counter tenor voice, which is a whole like octave above my normal voice. So I'm floating in the falsetto. And that's typically what happened in old music before ladies were allowed to perform roles and things. When men had to do all the roles, they would have to have men play female roles. So the men would have to flip their voice into a falsetto and perform as if they were the female. And so that's the song that I'm doing there in that picture.
Is that something that they teach you in school? Okay, now we're having the high tenor class.
No, I think because I was so just interested in exploring music that, you know, last year, for like 3 years, I had a funk band that I was singing stuff like Ain't Too Proud to Beg and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. And I really, at first I was like, well, I don't know if I can do this stuff. It's, you know, it's very, you know, niche. But then I started really just finding my voice and really being able to bend notes and get that soulful style. And I started to really appreciate the mixed voice. And I think that also plays hand in hand in being able to do Broadway and opera. Just understanding what you need to do to the voice to create those styles. Because there's one technique that you do to your voice to keep it pure and carefree and easy. But then all the different styles that you sing, you do different things. Like for opera, you put the vibrato right on the onset. Right on the beginning of the note, you vibrate it. Whereas in Broadway, a lot of times you sing straight tone into vibrato at the end. So little things like that will help create the styles.
I don't need to know how the sausage is made, man. I just appreciate it, you know. Hey, would you sing something for us? Would you mind doing that?
Oh, sure.
Well, not Sunday, not that we didn't set this up ahead of time, but
well, this Sunday we are doing that pop-up concert, and it's a three tenors concert.
That's what we're going to talk about after you sing. I got it all worked out.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sing Nessun Dorma for you guys, which is beautiful. One that all three of us are going to sing. So you're going to hear me sing the whole thing.
Who are the other two? Who are the other two tenors, by the way?
John Konoklidis and Russell Andrade.
There you go.
They both performed with St. Pete Opera before. John Konoklidis was in Pagliacci a couple years ago, and Russell was in that same show, but in the beginning half, and Sweeney Todd with me. That's when we first met. That show was amazing.
We're going to talk about it after the performance, as they say.
All right, let's try. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, I lost my connection real quick. Let me turn it back on.
I always have to look in the camera and remind people it's really high tech, folks. You know. In the early days of this show, things dropped off the planet all the time, and I didn't know why.
I even set it up before, but it just took, you know, between. Okay. All right, here we go. Good? This should be it.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Nessun dorma, nessun dorma. Tu pure principessa nella tua fredda stanza guardi le stelle che tremano d'amore e di speranza. Ma il mio mistero è chioso in me, il nome mio nessun saprà, no, sulle domande no, quando la luce splenderò. Ed il mio bacio scioglierà il silenzio che ti fa mia.
and the fade out.
So beautiful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for that. You've been with St. Petersburg Opera Company for 10 years now.
Yeah, I think my first production was Madama Butterfly in 2010.
Wow. Wow. So you do something, I've seen you in main stage shows and I don't want to say the peripheral shows, but the other things, the other many, many things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had another photo, one more photo, Chris, if you can stand it.
Yeah.
This is a Jim Swallow picture from Holiday Sparkle last
year. Yes. That was such a fun show.
Oh, it was fabulous. There was eight of them. I took photos and video at all eight. This is, of course, Jim Swallow's picture because he's a real photographer. But there you are on the left. And one of the things that I think is so wonderful about SPO, we were talking about accessibility before, is the fact that Maestro Sforzini will do things like this that are totally different. They're not main. It's not Madama Butterfly, and it's not Rigoletto on the big stage with the orchestra. It's just, this was fun. Had some opera in it.
It did, yes. No, I loved it. I thought it was a fun, light show that just brought diversity to the Christmas season. I feel like so many times you go to a Christmas show and you see the same thing over and over again. This was definitely something unique that I think was a jewel to St. Pete.
That's from one of your solo numbers there. I mean, you are seeing the same picture I am because this was fun. And okay, let's, I could go on talking about SPO forever. And Mark's been on here a couple of times. But let's talk about this popera stuff. This Sunday, the 13th, you're doing it. You're at Westminster Palms at 4. And then the side lot. It's sold out. It's a ticketed event. It's sold out. You heard it here first, folks. Wow. Okay, so let's scratch the side loft. If you have your tickets, you're going. But then at 6:30, you're back outdoors at the MFA.
And that's a free concert.
That's free outside. Mark said there was somewhere around 400 people there last time.
It was amazing. And it was, I mean, we had some technical difficulties, so it got pushed a little back, but it was, as the sun was going down, we were singing. It was an awesome evening. Everyone could spread out.
Yeah. And you got a little drizzle here and there, but it was just part of the adventure. Was it great to be out singing for people again?
You could totally tell people were deprived. They were really long, they were hungry for any kind of live art. They really were. And they were so appreciative. And I'm so appreciative, of course, that everyone's taking the precautions too. Everyone's being safe still about it, even though we're still trying to, start things back up. Everyone's being so respectful, and that's awesome. But,
you're on a 14-foot trailer?
They decorated like a stage. They put a little...
It's like a barn dance rolling into town.
Right? Yeah. Had little plants in front on top with our banner and the curtains. I thought it was, for putting something together quickly to bring it to the community. I thought they did a pretty good job.
And Teresa was playing piano. Is she doing it again this time, or is there a little band?
Yes. She's our one-man band.
Well, tell us about this program. You mentioned the other two tenors before. There are three of them.
Yeah, so we're trying to recreate a three tenors theme concert. So, of course, we all have our solos. And mine will be La Donna Mobile, Vesti La Giuba, and my new one that I just learned, Salut de Meur de Chastepide from Faust. So I had to work on some French for that one, which was a little tough, but hey, once you get it, it's muscle memory.
You don't actually speak like Italian and French, do you?
No, but we do have to go through intensive courses of how to pronounce it. And when we look at the words, we have to understand the rules of what you need to do to read it properly so that we can pronounce it properly.
So are there moments in opera when you're actually singing something in Italian and you could actually be singing, I want to marry your horse and live in the barn, and
not like I said, there are a couple times I'm sure we say some gibberish where the words just go, and it's I hate to say it, but it is a little easier to kind of fudge through it in a different language than in English. It's just impossible in English to kind of get your way around it. Another part of a vocalist of our training is to, do research. So we need to know kind of, and the more we sing certain like Italian, I feel like I'm starting to learn a lot of Italian words because a lot of the operas are in Italian.
Yeah.
A lot of the arias that I do in are Italian. So you start seeing similar words, similar phrases, and you start, and you know, opera kind of has general themes in the same. There's no like scientific stuff in opera. There's no technology in opera.
I never thought of that. Galileo doesn't make a cameo appearance, right?
So the themes are pretty much the same. Death, love, you know.
Betrayal.
Exactly. So you start seeing these similar words and phrases, and you start, oh, I know exactly what I'm saying here because I've come across this word a lot.
Well, there's also acting. That's the other thing that I learned, that it's very much like a form of theater in a way.
Definitely.
You know? People who do what you do would say, well, you know, I have to know what my character, I can't just sing the words. I have to act it. I have to be that person.
Definitely. No, for my newest artist, I was just working with Maestro Sforzini. I just had to learn what I'm singing about. And actually, talking about science and stuff, we just did a recording at the Dalí Museum. Mm-hmm. And it was science versus sacred. And so the Salut de Mers, that my French piece, I guess Faust, he was a scientist, so that's, again, I feel like stretching it, but I like the connection that himself, he was a scientist, and he was trying to dabble into that. The song itself, though, is simply about him singing to the house that his love lives in, singing how amazing that house grew that beautiful lady and allowed her to, you know...
So it's a story about architecture and blueprints? Is that how it's scientific? What am I missing here?
So I had to go through the words and read, you know, what parts of the song, what am I saying, so that as I say certain words, I can reflect that maybe I'm saying it to someone, or am I saying it to an entity, or am I, you know, is it doubting of myself and all that stuff, so I can, like you said, bring the acting side. Because if you just kind of sing it straight through, it's nice, but I think bringing the acting to it does take it to a whole nother level.
Mark, there's a phrase, it's like plant and sing, or I can't remember what it is, but it's that whole notion of standing and singing as opposed
to... In marching band, we called it park and bark.
Park and bark, that's what it was. Martini was the one that told me what that... So we don't want to do park and bark.
Yes.
I tell you, I've learned so much today. Chris Romeo, we will see you Sunday, 4 o'clock at Westminster Palms in St. Petersburg. The truck rolls in. The tenors are there. Teresa, the wonderful Teresa and Kaya on the piano. Maestro Sforzini, I'm sure, will be there to entertain the troops. That is free. And then at 6:30 or thereabouts, depending on traffic, you'll be outdoors at the Museum of Fine Arts.
Yes. They structured this one much better than the first one, so I think we should be able to stay on schedule.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you out there. Thanks for chatting with us today. It's just a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you soon, Chris.
Take care.
From stpetecatalyst.com.